Let's get going, hour number three. We have a lot of material to cover in this hour for you. As you remember, some time ago we began to talk about the idea of transmission from those who have been given the vaccine, which in short causes their body to produce, genetically speaking, the spike protein. We think there are other issues, but we're going to retain that original footing for this hour and pretty much talk about spike proteins. We'll introduce other things as well. We have things to read that have been sent into social media platforms by people who have been showing deadly signs of clotting, shedding signs after simply being near anyone who's been vaxxed. What we don't know yet, and the remaining question, is that, is this going to be secondhand? It's beginning to look like it could well be. Because if they are picking up the spike protein, and we know from the patent that at least Moderna expects the mRNA to be transmitted as well via shedding, that people can actually become vaccinated by simply being around someone who has received the injection. Maybe that's why they always had the 70% target. We've got to get 70% vaccinated, knowing that the remaining 30% would circulate through and around and among the vaxxed and would pick up the spike protein and pick up mRNA and probably other things as well. They're not stupid. This was all planned out in extreme sophistication, and it was diabolical. It is utterly satanic. Erica is back tonight. We're going to talk about this with Erica Kahn, our MIT microbiologist. She's been following this like ferociously, and she's dug up some very important material, which we're going to read, and then she'll comment on, and then we're going to play a video that is going to knock your socks off. And I hope it gives you cause for great concern. It's the truth. You really, and I don't want to do this, but you really should not be around people who are vaccinated. And according to medical science, on the other side, they're saying those people shouldn't be around us. So, you know, have it either way you want. But the bottom line is they have succeeded in separating the society even further. Erica, welcome back tonight.
Hi, Jeff. It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, thank you for collecting all the data you've sent. I've got it all organized, and if you look under Erica's name, it should be there. If it's not, it will be there. But there are things that I'm going to read, and she's going to try and analyze and assess. These are very tell us what you thought when you read them. I will let our listeners make up their own minds, of course, but you sent these along, and they scared the hell out of me, frankly.
Yeah, I think, you know, these types of reports, if anybody's slipping into a sense of complacency or think that things are getting better, this is a stark reminder that they're really not, and we still have to be vigilant if you want to safeguard your own health.
What about secondhand? Let's say person A has been vaxxed. Person B hangs around person A. Person B begins to manifest symptoms of having been transfected, infected by shedding. What about person C? Is person B going to transmit to person C? It would seem like it might well be the case if they actually are somehow penetrated and quasi-vaccinated by exposure to person A. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard a couple, what would you call that, third-hand transmissions.
Right.
That could be third-hand transmissions. I guess time will tell. Certainly second-hand transmission, that definitely is happening. Third-hand,
right.
Possibly.
If second-hand actually becomes vaccinated by exposure to a vaccinated person, then you're going to have third hand. It's going
right.
to happen. We just don't know yet. This is really shocking material. I'm going to read the first one now. And this is the unvaxxed showing deadly clots, shedding signs, after being simply near the vaxxed. This was on a social media platform. We've covered up the names and the pictures, so we'll afford privacy there. But I'll read this first one, then we'll get Erica to do some analysis. Here we go. Because the vaccine's spike protein causes blood clots, strokes, heart attacks, among other deadly conditions, and you don't even have to have the vaccine. You can get clots. You can get it from shedding from others who have been vaccinated. I have personally been experiencing blood clots. Now, this person has not been vaccinated. Now, get this. I can feel the ones that go through to my heart. These are microclots, maybe even bigger than that. It's been excruciatingly painful. The pain stops you from breathing, and your heart still can't beat until the clot passes through the artery, if it does at all. Some of the smaller clots are less painful, but the large one I experienced yesterday was excruciating and frightening. Someone asked, have you had the jab? Did you get vaccinated? No. And I didn't take the concept of shedding seriously until I started experiencing very frightening side effects. I actually didn't believe it and thought people were crazy talking about it. The vaccine is known to trigger shingles. My first experience was the first visible shingles after coming in contact with vaccinated people. In the beginning of the vaccine rollout, when masses were getting vaccinated, it was back then. It was the first time I had come into contact with vaccinated people, and within 2 days of contact, I developed shingles. After that experience, I could no longer deny it. Now I've been experiencing severe chest pains right when I wake up. I've never had these issues before, never had chest pain before. There are doctors who know people who are getting micro blood clots after being vaccinated. These micro blood clots are mostly unnoticeable until a large one causes a stroke or a heart attack, mostly caused by the toxic spike protein that is in the vaccine. This is a female who wrote this in. All right, Erica, what did she just tell us?
I guess she's been spiked. The question is, is she just picking up the spike protein from these vaxxed people, or is she genuinely transfected with the same genetic material and is now producing these spike proteins on her own?
In other words, the mRNA.
Right. Or in the case of the adenoviruses, I think these things, they're supposed to be replication incompetent, but I think they can readily revert to a competent state to be infectious to other people.
That's the AstraZeneca and the J&J. They use the adenovirus platform rather than the straight mRNA with a nanolipid.
Right.
This is a virus that is supposed to be attenuated. It's supposed to be essentially virtually dead, but Erica feels, and I agree, that these viruses are quite capable of coming back to full function and being transmissible.
Yes. So, and we know from the Moderna patent that their mRNA is shed in the form of exosomes through all bodily fluids, shed into the environment to be conceivably acquired by anyone that's in proximity, including animals.
Go back, tell them about the cats in case they missed it in England. That was just one count.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, there was a story in the news about this wave of people reporting that their cats were getting sick and quickly dying for no apparent reason. And they all appear to have a blood issue. And they were calling it polycythemia, which is an overproduction of red blood cells. But they couldn't figure out why it was happening, and they were powerless to offer any interventions that would help. And there was at least one case where the owner could afford a blood transfusion for their cat, and they attempted that, and it did nothing. The cat still died.
Over 400 cats by that one count, and that's what we heard about. we don't know what's going on now. There's probably a lid on it. They don't want other people to know. The vets don't know what's going on, obviously. They're trying to diagnose according to their training. They're not looking at these vaccines or whatever other ingredients there may be in them that could be causing these cats to die. There have been some dogs who have died as well. And
yes.
Now we find that 60% of the deer, and I forget which state, allegedly show antibodies to the so-called spike protein, the vaccine carried virus that is... Look, if the deer are showing antibodies to the virus, what is that telling us? What's that mean? That means we're in trouble here.
It's been unleashed on the entire planet. So there's no putting the genie back in the bottle now.
No, not going to happen. All right, so let me pull the next one up here. These are just a few from social media. How is it running? Are the reports increasing in frequency? Are they holding about the same? They are increasing?
They're widespread now. We're seeing another wave of people that initially they were apparently okay in the days to weeks after having their jabs and thought they were in the clear. But at the 3-month mark, 4-month mark, they're starting to come down with, you know, strange, concerning issues. I've heard a couple of cases of people developing gallbladder issues to the point where the gallbladder burst and they needed emergency surgery.
Gallbladder?
Yes, out of the blue.
What could cause that? The bile duct from the gallbladder is blocked and it backs up to the extent that it causes it to burst?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
So, yeah, something, you know, the gallbladder's overloaded. You know, the blood may be thick with clots toxins or just not the right pH to dissolve sludge. Another worrisome thing that we're seeing is people with swollen ankles. And for no apparent reason, they're not injured or sprained, or they seem to be experiencing edema, which would be some, you know, fluid retention in the lower extremities. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit worrisome because that can be a sign of right-sided heart failure or kidney problems or liver problems, all of which have been reported with these vaccines.
Hair loss
is another one.
So there is a wide range of things. Now, I mentioned earlier they found antibodies to the virus allegedly in 60% of a deer population. I don't believe they should be checking for spike protein as well. I don't know if they are. That would be another interesting angle. They can check for that in people. So I don't know. Do this. Explain to everyone how these microclots are formed and how they can, just like a snowball, get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, whatever's in the vaccine, and it could be any number of things, it will cause the blood to coagulate on a very microscopic level and circulate throughout the body, and then because they're so small, they can get down into the capillary bed and just become lodged there, and then inhibit the blood flow to any organ that is fed by those capillaries. And if it's a vital organ, heart, liver, kidneys, brain, well, then our organs are going to be starved of oxygen and nutrients, and they will begin to suffer, and in some cases die or become necrotic.
So what that means is the brain actually could suffer tiny little microstrokes.
Yes.
Maybe hundreds of them. And you could act normal. You could feel normal.
You may be completely unaware.
That's right. And the people around you wouldn't know. But these things are accumulating, aggregating all the time. So you've
now
got
you
a
do
blocked
have a,
capillary.
Go ahead. You do have a mechanism in your body to break these things down. And that's what they're starting to look at with some of these people that have the vax, and they suspect they may be, with or without symptoms, having a clotting issue. And so you could get a blood test. It's called a D-dimer, and it will look for these, the formation or the breakdown of clots. And so your body will naturally break these down, but the problem is if this is ongoing and you continue to produce clots and exceed your body's ability to continue breaking them down, well, you can guess what the outcome will be.
So, okay, let's say here's a clot and at a capillary, a junction of two or three capillaries, whatever, and it's shutting off the blood flow. It's such a micro level, though, that you wouldn't notice it. You can't feel it. It's not cold. It's not ischemia. But it's happened. And your body doesn't break this particular little microclot down. And along comes more, and they begin to back up at this juncture that's been blocked off with this micro mini clot. They back up, then they get bigger, and then you've got a bigger area which is deprived of its blood flow. More cells, then you get necrotic activity, cell death, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens. So when the clots begin to shut down the circulation at the capillary level, unless it is, this reminds me of group A strep. That's what group A strep does. It shuts down the blood flow at the capillary level to the extent that pretty soon your tissue, it necrotizes, it dies. And then you can end up with it looking black, and like that one woman who lost her legs and her hands, and there have been others. This is dead tissue. And that's because these microclots have shut down the blood flow to the tissue served by those capillaries. This is really hideous stuff.
When you look at the range of symptoms, many of them are suggestive of microclots. I've seen reports of people's fingers, the skin on their fingers peeling, toes, the skin on their toes peeling.
Sure.
That can be a sign of reduced blood flow to those areas. Certainly the headaches, the nausea. Just a whole range of things could be attributed to the formation of these microclots.
You have unusual headaches. Dear friends, you may have microclotting in your brain. That's possible.
Yes.
That's one thing. Now, if this goes on, and let's say after 3 or 4 months, let's say 6 months, you've lost 10% of your brain function. You're still doing pretty well. Nobody really notices much. It's not harming your motor reflexes in terms of walking and so forth. You're still able to converse, but you've lost 10% of your brain. Depending upon which parts are hit, that'll manifest the obvious signs to other people. Is this a possible scenario we're looking at?
I think so, definitely. You know, just those subtle changes in cognitive function. You've got a lot of brain cells. You can compensate for a loss of a few of them to a point.
Right. Okay.
But the other worrisome symptom associated with these microclots is reduced lung function. And people are losing their exercise tolerance. They'll get winded just walking across a room or are completely exhausted.
Okay.
And that's often a sign of a lung clot, a blood clot in the lung.
Right. For the innocent victims, people who have simply been around someone who has been genetically altered, either by adenovirus or the other, the Pfizer, Moderna mode, they are throwing spike proteins off 25 hours a day. And if you're working around people like that or living with someone like that, you are going to be exposed. And if you're getting exposed to not only spike proteins, but also the mRNA, you're going to end up being essentially vaxxed. That's what they plan to do. That's their plan. That's how they were going to spread it to the 30% who didn't take the shot. I think they've only really hit about 50% in the U.S., and that's why the big push is on now. I don't think they've gotten anywhere near to 70. That's just my sense. All right, I've got to read the next one here. Well, I'll just read it. I never had the shit shot, and now I am wearing a heart monitor. I strongly believe it had something to do with the shedding of the spike proteins, and I was perfectly healthy before I went back to work and society. These are written on social media, so they're not written real well. So if I kick a few words, just ignore it. I'm going to read that again. I never had the shot, and now I am wearing a heart monitor. I strongly believe it had something to do with the shedding of the spike proteins because I was perfectly healthy before I went back to work and society. So this person is around people apparently all day at the office and was being exposed to shedding, okay? And he follows up and said, or someone answers and said, reply. We're going to go through the break, Todd, thanks. Yeah, a few of my friends have not had the shot, but recently extremely weird illnesses hit them out of nowhere. One keeps going into anaphylactic shock in his sleep, no known allergies. Another in his 30s started having seizures, just got out of the hospital the other day, apparently, no idea why. So there you go. There's more, and these are anecdotal, but they're very important to pay attention to. Someone else said, it's the spike proteins. I was healthy 2 weeks ago, and now I am having heart and breathing issues. Someone else writes in, I also have felt weird, fuzzy-headed, dizzy, lacking in energy since I did a 2-hour flight. Probably the plane was full of people shedding the spike proteins, and maybe the mRNA, and maybe the adenovirus. We don't know. But these are very dangerous venues to place yourself in. So here are innocent victims, just being around someone who has been injected. Erica?
Yeah, I see many of these reports now. It's no joke. It is happening. I think they're being passively vaccinated. That would be my guess.
I don't like to hear that. I don't think anyone likes to hear that. But that it would fit in the very beginning when they announced they had a 70% rate that they were going to try to achieve with their injections of this vaccine. I said to myself, and I'm sure many people did, well, what about the other 30%? There's going to be a way to spread it. I just had that feeling immediately.
And we still don't know what this substance, URA-3665, that's now been referenced in two preprints, what that is. You know, the title of one of these studies was that in black and white, it said that may accumulate or may have a cumulative toxic effect in the unvaccinated. So it's in the vaccine, according to the title, and it can accumulate to toxic levels in the unvaccinated. So what is it, and why aren't we allowed to know?
Oh, we're not allowed to know much of anything anymore. All right. Now, what we're going to do is play a video. This is Dr. Charles, I'm going to say Hoffe, H-O-F-F-E. He's a Canadian. And this is about 8 or 9 minutes, and I think you'll find it priceless in its information. It's insights. Yes, it is suggestive to a degree. Anything you want to add here real quick before we start this, Dr. Charles?
No, Hoffe. He's made a major contribution in providing quite a bit of evidence to show that clotting is the major issue with these vaccines.
Remember what we've been talking about, microclotting that you're not even aware of.
Yep, with or without people symptoms.
With or without. People that get the big clots early on, probably a question of blood composition, how thick the blood is. We don't know. It's all guesswork. So we're doing the very best to put this together logically and pragmatically and present it to you. Here's Dr. Charles Hoffe.
And you mentioned to me the use of a D-dimer test, which we all know what it's for, but we're going to have to explain a little bit. Could you please speak to this a little bit and give the relevant context and introduction, please? Because I think this is really groundbreaking and important.
Yes, yeah, thank you. So one of the key things that really bothered me when I started to see serious vaccine injuries in my own patients is that I had no idea what the mechanism of injury was, and therefore, as their doctor, I had no idea how to treat it. Because, you know, as their family doctor, they would come to me for help, and I needed to help them, and I was clueless. I mean, this is an experiment, and I was aware that there was literally what we call iatrogenic disease, a medically induced disease being produced by this vaccine. And so I had asked this in my open letter to Dr. Bonnie Henry, our provincial health officer, what is the mechanism of injury and how do I treat this as these people's doctor? And of course, nobody knew. And the vaccine manufacturers had told us that the COVID spike protein does not go intravenous. It stays in the arm. The antibodies to the spike protein are produced in the arm. And that's what we had been found. But scientists now, and Dr. Brody has actually very clearly revealed this, that only 25% of the vaccine actually stays in the arm. And the rest of it, so these vaccines are a vast number of little messenger RNA strands. The Moderna vaccine has 40 trillion messenger RNA molecules per vaccine dose, 40 trillion.
Now, once you get that messenger RNA in your body, you have been formally vaxxed. That's the key with respect to the Pfizer and Moderna, okay? It goes right into the cell, sets up shop. Now, there's an issue about leaking cells and that the mRNA single strand can get out. And if it does get out, it can certainly go into the bloodstream and it can be exuded by the body. That's another issue we've talked about already tonight. The spike protein and maybe the mRNA are both being shed. Erica?
Yeah, I would say so. I think he is making an assumption that it's the spike protein that is causing the clotting, and he's got a, you know, pretty good hypothesis. I don't know, though, that it's actually been proven. That it's the spike protein. It could be any one of these other ingredients, the graphene oxide, the iron oxide nanoparticles, the lipid nanoparticles, the extracellular mRNA, truncated mRNA, on and on. So there's many possibilities here, but the fact is clotting is happening.
Okay. All right.
With devastating consequences.
Horrible. This is a nightmare. Dr. Charles Hoffe.
So these are wrapped in a little lipid capsule. The lipid capsule is to enable them to be absorbed into the cells. So this is injected into the person's arm in their deltoid muscle of the shoulder. From there, as I mentioned, only 25% actually stays there. The rest is taken up, collected through the lymphatic system, and fed into the general circulation. And so it circulates around the entire body. And I think every doctor knows that absorption from the circulation occurs in capillary networks because that's where the blood slows right down. It's going through tiny, tiny vessels. So these little nanocapsules containing these trillions of messenger RNA molecules are absorbed into the lining around the capillaries, what medically we call the vascular endothelium. So these little packages are absorbed into the cells around the vessels. The packages open. The body recognizes these messenger RNA strands as a gene and gets to work making COVID spike proteins. So in a virus, those COVID spike proteins form part of the viral capsule. But the problem is they're not in a virus. They're in the cells around blood vessels. So as a result, they become part of the cell wall of that cell. So normally, the cells that surround your blood vessels have to be very, very smooth to enable good and unimpeded flow of blood. But as soon as you've got all these little spike proteins that become part of the cell wall, it's now a rough surface. It's going to be like a very coarse sandpaper. It's now what the platelets are going to interpret as a damaged vessel. It's no longer smooth. It's rough. So clotting is inevitable because the platelets that come down that vessel are going to hit a rough spot and assume this must be a damaged vessel. This vessel needs to be blocked to stop the bleeding. That's how our clotting works. So clots are, because of this and because of the nature of this, clots are inevitable because of these spike proteins in the capillary networks. So I set out to then try and prove this. Could this theory be correct? And so the problem is these little clots in the capillary networks are microscopic and they are scattered. So they're not going to show on any scan. They're just too small and too scattered. It's not like the big clots that cause strokes or heart attacks. They're too small and they're too scattered. So how on earth can we know if the person clotted? And the only way is with a blood test called a D-dimer. So the D-dimer is a blood test that will show up a recent clot. It won't show up an old clot. It shows up a new clot. And it doesn't tell you where the clot is. It just tells you that the clotting mechanism has been activated. So I have now been recruiting patients from my practice, people that have come into my office and others that have heard me speak about this, and have asked people to do this D-dimer within 1 week of their COVID shot. And so far, and this study is ongoing, these are preliminary results, so far I've got 62% positive elevated D-dimer, which means that the blood clots are not rare. That's what the so-called experts keep telling us. The clots are rare. The big ones are rare. But the small ones are clearly happening in the majority of people, 62%. Now, I'll tell you what the real...
Okay, you just heard. That's the key. 62% of the people who get the shot begin within 1 week to manifest microclotting throughout their body. Could be anywhere. From the brain to your big toe, it doesn't matter. Anything you want to add?
Yep, that's pretty accurate.
62, two-thirds.
And you don't have to have symptoms. And because even if you don't have symptoms, it does not mean that organs and tissues are not being damaged from the lack of blood supply.
All right, every microclot diminishes your overall God-given blood supply potential. That's what it does. This is a war on the blood and the blood circulatory system.
Concern with this is that a clotted vessel is permanently damaged. That vessel never, ever goes back to normal. So if this theory is correct, which it really looks like by these D-dimer results, and I'm told it has been done in Australia and it's been done in the UK, and they also found elevated D-dimers. And they sort of discarded the information because they said there's no clinical evidence of clots. Well, the reason is because they're microscopic and they're scattered, and so you're not going to see clinical evidence. But in fact, all of the frequent side effects of the shot, which are headache, nausea, dizziness, fatigue, could all be signs of cerebral thrombosis on a capillary level. I mean, those literally, you could be having thousands and thousands of tiny, tiny little clots in your brain that won't show on a scan, but they will give you those exact symptoms. So the concern is I have now got six people in my medical practice that cannot exert themselves the way they used to be, what medically we call reduced effort tolerance. Six people who now get out of breath doing things that they could previously do without any problem. So I believe that these people blocked up thousands and thousands of capillaries in their lungs, in these six people. So I believe these people now have permanently damaged lungs because they have got, I mean, and that's why they get out of breath. I have one fellow that used to walk 2 miles to my office every week for a shot for his arthritis, and he says after a quarter of a mile, he's done. In other words, his effort tolerance is reduced to 1/8 of what it used to be. And so I've sent some of these people for chest x-rays and CT scans to see what it shows. And all it shows is distorted architecture. What the radiologists describe as increased reticulation. It's a very nonspecific thing. And it's because it's microscopic. But the concern is because these vessels are now permanently damaged in a person's lungs, when the heart tries to pump blood through all those damaged vessels, there's increased resistance trying to pump the blood through those lungs. So those people are going to develop something called pulmonary artery hypertension, high blood pressure in their lungs. And the concern with that is that those people will probably all develop right-sided heart failure within 3 years and die because they now have increased vascular resistance through their lungs. And lung tissue and heart tissue and brain and spinal tissue and all of that does not regenerate. In other tissues, it can regenerate liver and kidneys and muscle and other, but there are some tissues that cannot. And so this absolutely explains what I've seen in my patients, and that's what I'm doing to prove it, and my study is ongoing.
Well, if that didn't scare you, and I'm not trying to scare you, you need to know. You need to know. Not to be around vaccinated people. And these vax people, 2/3 of them, are showing D-dimer increased levels after 1 week. And we all know, hypothetically, that the after effects of being injected only increase. More spike proteins, more cells converted to producing them, more things being exuded from the body, sloughed off. Every body fluid can have them. Exhalation, sneezes, sweat, it doesn't matter. This is really horrific stuff that you just heard. We don't know who's been microclotting and who hasn't. But I think we can assume that at least after 1 week, 2/3 of those who get the vax are microclotting. And maybe after 2 weeks, it would be 3/3. Maybe everybody would be. We don't know. The testing hasn't been done yet. Erica?
Yeah, they've done a great job at weaponizing our fellow human beings.
Well, that's
I mean, this is almost true. If you know anything about diabetes and the way it destroys your small blood vessels, it's called... Well, another name for diabetes is small vessel disease, but it's got all the hallmarks of that at an accelerated rate. So it's like, you know, the high blood sugar in diabetes is what destroys the delicate endothelium. You end up getting this endothelial dysfunction and inflammation, and you compromise your blood supply to all of your organs. And this seems to be doing it in a very efficient and accelerated manner.
So,
and all you have to do is be around these people, and you will acquire this disease as well.
How long can people continually throw an increased level of microclots before they begin to show visible damage? That's another question that remains to be answered, and we can only speculate. As Erica mentioned early on, the body does have an ability to take care of some of this damage, but not apparently at the rate it is being inflicted upon the body by the vaccines, these injections.
Yeah, the spike protein or whatever it is that's irritating the endothelium. Now, you have to remember the endothelial cells, or that is the lining of your blood vessels, and it's one cell thick. It's extremely delicate. That's why high blood sugar can damage it so easily. Oxidative stress can damage it. But as long as your body's able to keep up with the repair, you probably do okay. You know, take your vitamin C. I don't know. Whether or not these spike proteins can be dissolved, are they soluble or are they?
Know.
Yeah, we don't know. And we don't even know if that is the true culprit.
It could be something else entirely.
It could be something else. But whatever it is, it's airborne,
it's
and it's being acquired,
it's being transmitted. Yes.
Yes.
If you get around someone once and you pick up a few, let's just say they're spike proteins, all right, that's the primary culprit, just for fun, although I don't think it is. I think it's one of many. I think the mRNA is being thrown as well. Let's just say you pick up some, you've been around somebody for a few hours. Chances are, if you stay away from others who have been vaxxed, you're going to be fine. Your body will take care of it. You've got a brilliant God-given immune system that can take on these things and usually take care of them. Correct?
Yes.
So the idea is, this is dose-dependent. Don't increase your dose by being around vaxxed people for any length of time. Now, a lot of you are listening saying, well, my God, my husband is vaxxed, or my wife is vaxxed, or my mom and dad are vaxxed. What am I going to do? Well, I would suggest you wear long sleeve something, maybe put gloves on, certainly put a good mask on if you go. And remember, your eyes are vector portals too. I don't want you to wear goggles. I'm just trying to give you your options. What are their options, Erica?
Yeah, I just think, well, let's say whatever the media is telling you to do, do the opposite. If they're telling you to mix and mingle, then it's time to social distance. If they're telling you not to wear a mask, well, if you believe in masks, then maybe you want to wear a mask. I mean, it's going to come down to minimizing your exposure to these people. That's the most fundamental thing, because they are the vectors.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
It's hard to know why some people are affected and others seemingly are not. Right. And we could assume that not every batch of these injectables is the same. Or maybe there's something unique about certain people. Maybe it's their blood type, Rh factor. The way the spike protein or whatever's in these things is interacting with the components in their blood. I don't know. It's a guessing game.
It sure is.
But I mean, this is... If you're concerned about your long-term health...
They knew all of this. That's the part that really bothers me. They know, and they're laughing. They know. Look at them scrambling around down there, like little mice trying to figure this out. There are lunatic psychopaths just like that. Take it to the bank. All right, let me read one more here. Briefly, tell us about the $3 billion in contracts that the British government is looking for. That was a big one.
Yeah, as of July 22nd, I believe, 21st or 22nd last week, the UK government, or NHS, National Health Service in England, put out a tender for contracts for the supply of oral anticoagulant drugs starting in November of 2021 and running through March of 2024. So to the tune of £3 billion, that's a fairly
sizable...
Let's
call them anti-clotting drugs instead of anticoagulants, just for fun. Anti-clotting drugs. That's what
anti-clotting drug, oral supply or oral administration. That would suggest they know they've got a problem.
just slightly, yeah. Okay, there you go. £3 billion tender put out for contracts for oral anti-clotting drugs. All right, here's one. I'm going to try and get this in without rushing it. We've got 6 minutes here. Now, remember, these are written right off social media, and I'm reading these cold for the first time. If I remember right, you're seeing the results in your practice. Microclots in the lungs. I might have you confused with someone else. And the reply is, I'm seeing total body clotting to the point where the blood extravasates
to the...
All right. To the outer tissues. And impossible to draw a blood sample. Wow. I'm seeing total body clotting is the response, to the point where the blood, what was that again?
Extravasates.
To the blood, where the blood extravasates to the outer tissues and becomes impossible to draw a blood sample. Oh, that's crazy.
Mm.
And then someone said, resulting in death, of course. And the next reply is, and someone can have a positive D-dimer and appear to be fine. The body resolved the clots on its own. But that doesn't mean without consequence. Vessels are damaged. All right, the next reply. Watched a code go down about 6 weeks ago. A code means someone died. I work at a hospital, and folks were puzzled as to what had happened. The patient had been stable, sick, but stable. And then, bam, the bottom fell out. Everyone was so puzzled they asked the family to approve an autopsy. I will, of course, never know the results, but my guess is it might be hard to see or figure out, especially if they're not allowed to even ask the questions like, was this vaccine related? Anyway, after almost an hour of working on the person, blood just began coming out of everywhere as they did the chest compressions. Obviously, no hope at that point. So they started to do heart chest compressions, and blood came out of all orifices. Family members later casually mentioned that the patient had the vaccine a week earlier. The doctor's response, quote, no, couldn't possibly be related, end quote. I just stood there and quietly, I hope, rolled my eyes and had lots of thoughts. So much going on, and no one is connecting the dots or seeing what may, in fact, be hiding in plain sight. Someone replied to that, I don't understand how the doctors are blind to all these symptoms. Another reply, I know, I'm puzzled. My sense is many believe the system they were trained in, that they can't see. Others probably do see but can't afford to speak up. It's their job and they just hope it will go away, all of this. And related to that, the way much of medicine is practiced, it doesn't matter. Patient presents with symptoms. They treat, try to mask the symptoms. Our cardiology department has been very busy. Do they care why? Of course, the explanation is people put off getting needed care all last year, and that's why they're in there. Maybe explain some of the cases. I think this is actually a blindness. If you've already determined that it can't possibly be the vaccine, then you will never see the patterns and the correlations. Now, that is a frightening scenario.
Mm-hmm. And how often is that happening?
Well, they're not going to tell us. It has to come from somebody working on the inside. And then
mm-hmm.
it has to find its way to social media. And then it has to find its way to a social media group that isn't censored
or yeah.
shut down. And then it has to find its way to you or someone else, and then eventually to this program. So do the math. It's very difficult to know what's going on. The bottom line is, this person, 1 week earlier, had a vaccine in the cardiac unit, coded. They gave chest compressions, and blood began coming out of every orifice. This is not the way it works. I don't even know how that could happen.
Yeah, that's horrific. I mean, these people are, their blood vessels are being destroyed. The blood itself is not doing what it's supposed to do.
This is just stunning. Another doctor said, I won't be able to read all this, but he said that when he tries to use the paddles on some people to jolt the heart back into operation, that the heart is so stiff, it won't respond. Physically stiff, rigid, from obviously microclots.
Mm-hmm. Very worrisome.
A final quick comment, if you've got one.
Yeah, so it's beginning to appear that you know, these microclots, people need to be on the lookout for them, with or without symptoms, because if they're not addressed, and I don't know that we can address them or how they intend to address them, they're going to cause widespread damage.
Even if you're successful at dissolving the clots with, let's say, children's aspirin, the damage to the blood vessel, as you heard from Dr. Hoffe, is permanent. So
yeah, it's difficult to repair that, if you can repair it at all.
Okay. Thank you very much for all your research and for being here again. And we'll keep trying to do what we can do. But right now, not a lot to be optimistic about. Fair statement?
Yes. I mean, just be vigilant.
All right.
You know, you know what the risk is and decide for yourself if it's worth it.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. Thanks.
My pleasure,
care.
Jeff. Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. And thanks to all of you for being here, and I hope that was worth your time. It's not pleasant, but it's reality. As much as we can concoct it and contrive it for you out of what data we have, it's the most logical and pragmatic approach that I can come up with. All right. We will be back tomorrow night.